Charlie Whittington owns one of those express oil change businesses for your car in Plano, Texas. And Charlie Whittington is a follower of Christ, and he was wanting to come up with some ways that he could share his faith. He was wanting to be creative in how he could have conversations with other people about what Jesus means to him. And he came up with a unique idea concerning his oil change business. Years back, he ran this coupon in Plano, Texas, where he said that if you can quote John 3:16, you receive $15 off your oil change, you can get it for $19.99. So what would happen is that someone who didn't know what John 3:16 was, never heard of it maybe or whatever, they would find it, read it, would come into his shop, and they would read John 3:16 to him to get $15 off their oil change. And Charlie would then talk to them about what they just read. He would talk to them about what it means. That's kind of what we've been doing these past weeks. Now, I'm sorry, I can't cut you a deal on your next oil change. But we've been having a conversation. We've been wanting to deepen our understanding about God's truth that's wrapped up in the verse, John 3:16. Because what John 3:16 is about is what Easter today is all about. John 3:16 is the most well-known Bible verse in all the world. It is perhaps the most translated sentence in all of human history. And it's amazing what God has done in just one little verse that he has given us and shown us the very heart of the Bible, the very heart of God himself, and what's at the heart of need in the heart of every person on this planet. Most people, when they read Charlie's coupon in the local paper about getting a discount on your oil change, if you know John 3:16 or you can tell him John 3:16, most people had probably heard John 3:16 before. They may not know what it said, but it would be rare to find an American that has at least not heard of John 3:16. And if you have been raised in church, you may think, well, I know John 3:16, but how well do we really know it? Is there a chance that if we study it in a deeper way, we're going to discover there is a richness to it that we never even expected? We are wrapping up today our Easter mini-series called God So Loves. We have now, this is our third week of studying John 3:16. And John 3:16 and Easter go hand in hand. The message of Easter is the person of Jesus. Today is about Jesus. The celebration of Easter, why we celebrate it as followers of Christ, is because he arose from the dead, his resurrection. The meaning of Easter is that God absolutely loves you and loves me, and he has an incredible plan for your life. The why of Easter, why do we do all this, is summed up in John 3:16. Would you like to have a certain future? Would you like to have a life of meaning? Is it possible this very day that could be the start of a new beginning in your life? Would you like a hope that can change absolutely everything? It's wrapped up in God's truth and the meaning of Easter as found in John 3:16. I would ask you to open your Bibles or your Bible app to John chapter 3. Now, if you are here without a Bible, don't feel embarrassed or bad about that. I didn't own a Bible when I was a freshman in college and walked into a church kind of like you maybe have done this morning. So don't feel bad about that. I'll be putting some verses up on the screen. But if you do have your Bible or your Bible app, and by the way, if you don't have a Bible and you want one, you contact our church office and we'll get you one. We find John 3:16 in John chapter 3. Jesus is the person who spoke John 3:16. And you may not be aware of this, but Jesus spoke it in its original context to an individual whose name was Nicodemus. Of course, it's God's word for all of us. It's interesting to understand who Jesus spoke, John 3:16 to. You see, this guy, Nicodemus, we would say is like living the American dream. He is what most people would say, now that's the sort of person that you want to be right with God in your life. Nicodemus believes that there is a God, one God. He believes that God is real. Nicodemus is a very religious man. Matter of fact, he's a leader in his religion. He is a man of great morals. He's a man that prays. He's a man that reads scripture. He's a man that is respected in his community. But he is also a man that is spiritually empty and lost and not going to heaven. Yeah, a guy can be religious and pray and do religious things and have morals and integrity and be respected as a citizen and not go to heaven. Matter of fact, his heart is so empty, he goes to Jesus one-on-one because he's looking for hope. He wants to fill the emptiness, and he has gone to the right person because hope is what Jesus is all about. The hope of abundant life in this world every day of our lives, and the hope of eternal life when this life is over. So Jesus talks to Nicodemus, and he explains to him how a person can be right with God. And he tells Nicodemus something that sounds funny to us today. He says, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And what Jesus simply means, the only way you and I entered this physical world is we had to have a physical birth. And the only way someone enters the spiritual world of God, they have to have a spiritual birth. Jesus is basically laying out to Nicodemus that just because you're religious and just because you have morals and just because you believe God's real and just because you're doing those things, that's not enough to make you right with God. He's telling Nicodemus that the goal to be right with God is not to be a better person. A lot of the first contact we have as a church with people, that's typically what's on their mind. They want a better life. They want to be a better person. They want a better marriage. They just want things to be different. They want things to be better. Let me be clear this morning. Jesus and Easter and John 3:16 has nothing to do with you becoming a better person and having a better life. He wants to make you brand new. Brand new life. So he tells Nicodemus, he sums up hope, he sums up heaven, he sums up salvation, he sums it all up in one verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life and get $15 off your next oil change. I want to share just two lessons for living from this text. This is our third message in this series. Here it is, Easter Sunday. The title of this morning's message is called Believe and Live. Believe and Live. Our first lesson for living is this. Believe in Him. It's what it says. Whosoever believes in Him. Believe in Him. Every one of us believe something about God. Every one of us believes something about humanity. All of us have some sort of a belief about how God and humanity connect. You say, well, an atheist doesn't believe in God. We've already talked about that. An atheist is someone who is trying to believe that they don't believe in God because they actually do. What do you believe about good and evil? What do you believe about life and death? What do we believe about eternity? That word believe carries some weight to it. Well, what we have seen in our first two messages, there are some things that God wants us to believe. First of all, he wants us to believe and to understand that God loves. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Matter of fact, we typically think of God in love. We think that love is something that God does, and it is. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, God is love. God, his very person, his very character, the core of who God is love. And because God is love, love is something that he does, and God absolutely loves you. God wants you to know him, to enjoy him, and to glorify him now and forever. God loves you. God knows everything about you and about me, and your entire life, God has been pursuing you. Now, when we see that word love in John 3:16, what is, and it's normal that we would do this, we put our understanding and our definition of love into that verse, and we think that's how God loves us. We can't do that. The word love in John 3:16 is not human love. It's not the love you and I understand and express and experience primarily as humans. It's not human love, it's heaven love. The love in John 3:16 is called agape love. It's God's love. Agape love means this. This is how God loves us. His love is selfless and sacrificial, and it always gives and gives and gives. God's love is one-sided. It's based on who He is. It's not based upon who we are. It's not based upon what we've done. It's not based upon what we do. God's love has no expectation of a response. God's love, this agape love, makes no demands. It just loves because of who God is. So God loves. We're to believe that God loves. The measure of God's love is the second thing in John 3:16 we studied in our first two messages that we're to believe. We're to believe that God loves and God gives. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." God loves, God gives. He gave His only begotten Son. You see, you and I understand the measure of love is not words. It's nice when someone says, "I love you," but anyone can say words. That the measure of love is not feelings. Feelings are very fickle. The measure of love, we understand this, is not words and not feelings. The true measure of love is actions. And the response of God through His agape love is the generous action of grace of sending Jesus. God is the greatest giver, and Jesus is the greatest gift. And the reason why the greatest giver, God, sent the greatest giver, the greatest gift, Jesus, is to meet our greatest need. What is the greatest need of humanity? What is your greatest need and my greatest need? Of all the things in the world, all things in our life, what is the greatest need that we have? Well, this story may kind of help us understand it. In 1987, it was called the worst and wildest golf shot in the history of golf. This story was in newspapers in France and Europe. There was an article about it in Golf Digest. In 1987, there was a young man in the West African country of Benin. His name was Matthew Boya. Matthew Boya was playing golf right next to the Benin airport. He hit a golf shot. His golf ball went up into the air and hit a bird. It killed the bird. As the bird plunged to earth, the bird crashed into the windshield of an airplane, a jet that was going down the runway. It hit the windshield of that jet. The pilot was so startled, he veered off the runway, and he crashed into the pride of the Benin Air Force, four brand new shiny Mirage fighter jets. Each one of those four fighter jets exploded one at a time in a ball of fire. The pilot of the jet that veered off the runway, he was okay. You talk about a bad golf shot. In one swing of his club, Matthew Boya destroyed the entire Air Force of a nation. Benin only had four airplanes. He destroyed their entire Air Force. Well, the police arrested him and charged him with being a hooligan. And they said, "The only way we're going to drop your charges is if you can make restitution." Now, in 1987, the going price of four Mirage jets was around $100 million. And with Matthew Boya's meager salary, it was figured that it would take him 145,000 years to pay off the debt that he owed. He was very thankful when they just decided to drop the charges. The greatest need in the human race is that you and I have a debt that we cannot pay. It's much greater than the debt that he owed the government for destroying those planes. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that there are no perfect people, that you and I willfully, you and I in our who we are, we disobey God. We sin because we are sinners. We disobey God. We're not perfect people. Our souls are dead. We're separated from God. We are so far from God that we cannot do anything to pay off that sin debt. It goes all the way back to the beginning of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they disobeyed God. Sin entered the human race in Genesis chapter 3. Now this world is broken and filled with death and disease and hate and war, and every single person has a dead soul separated from God without any hope. We need in our lives, the greatest need in our lives is what Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:12. Lord, forgive us our debt. We need God to forgive our debts. But John 3:16 tells us, believe that God loves and God gives. That Jesus left the glories of heaven to be born in a manger in Bethlehem, the only Messiah, 100% man, 100% God. He did that in a grace that you and I do not deserve and that you and I cannot earn. Jesus took every single one of my sins, your sins, and all of our sins upon his sinless self. And there he willingly paid the price we couldn't pay. He paid the debt of our sin when he died on the cross. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love for us. And while we were sinners, Christ died for us. But what we celebrate today is the fact that Jesus arose from the dead, that he is alive, and he won a victory that you and I could never win in and of ourselves. That's why the Bible teaches us in Colossians 2:13-14, that Christ made us alive, forgiving our sins. And in verse 14, it says he canceled the debt that stood against us. How? The Bible says he nailed it to the cross. That's what we are to believe, that God loves and God gives, and the greatest giver, God, sent the greatest gift, Jesus, to meet our greatest need, our sin debt that we could not pay back, and Jesus paid that price on the cross. Maybe you saw last week there was a news story from Westchester, Ohio. There was a town hall meeting, and at that town hall, one of the elected officials in this part of Ohio is a 69-year-old man named Lee Wong. Lee Wong is of Asian ancestry, and he shared some heartbreaking testimony how because he is an Asian American, because he looks Asian, some people have been ignorantly telling him that he doesn't look American and he can't be patriotic. He stood up in this town hall meeting as an elected official, and he pulled up his shirt. And when he pulled up his shirt, he showed his chest was full of scars. You see, he's a veteran. He spent 20 years in the United States Army, and he got those scars on his chest due to his military service for our nation. He was basically saying, see my scars? My scars prove the sacrifice and love I have for my nation. I'm here to tell you to see his scars. On this Easter Sunday, to see the scars of Jesus, God loves, God gave, and Jesus gave his life on the cross to give us the free gift of eternal life, that his scar shows us how much God loves us, and the resurrection proves to us that his victory can be our victory. Come to Jesus because God loves and God gives. Now, there is a major switch in John 3:16. The first part of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The first part of John 3:16, the subject is God. The last part of John 3:16, there is a change. The subject becomes you and me. It becomes us. We're to believe in him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The subject is God. Now it changes. That, the subject becomes us. Whoever believes in him. That word whoever means you, means me, means all, means everyone. Max Lucado said, who is not a whoever? You see, whoever is all of us because all of us qualify as a whoever, because all of us qualify to need salvation because all of us are sinners. That word whoever is also found in Romans 10:13, where the Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Regardless of who you are or what you have done, God loves, God gives. If you believe in him, Jesus will change your life. Notice what it says. It says believe in him. This is the answer. Jesus, remember the context, is talking to Nicodemus and to us all. This religious, church-going, scripture-reading, praying, moral person of integrity who's not going to heaven, who's not saved. Jesus tells him to be right with God. You must have a personal relationship with the Lord, with himself, Jesus is saying. That's the only way. You've got to believe in him. You've got to believe in Christ. It's the only way to have forgiveness and salvation and heaven and all those things when this life is over. Jesus taught us this over and over again. The Word of God teaches us we must believe in him. In John 6:47, it says, most assuredly, Jesus said this, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Paul told the Philippian jailer in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. The very last verse in John chapter 3 says this, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Notice it says, believe in him. Him. The him is Jesus. He's telling Nicodemus, you are a religious, sincere man. But religious sincerity saves no one. It's amazing how many people even claim to be Christians believe if someone is religious and sincere, they'll go to heaven one of these days. Religious sincerity saves no one. Only the Savior can save people. The quality of our faith is not what saves us. The quantity, how much? The quantity of our faith is not what saves us. The object of our faith is what saves us. And salvation is we attach our faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible does not say believe in a church. The Bible does not say believe in a person. The Bible does not say believe in a certificate or a creed or a confirmation or whatever anything else may be. The Bible says believe in him. Believe in faith alone, in Christ alone. And I say this from a heart of love. Even if it's something that's good and wonderful, if you here today, if I were to ask you, how do you know you're right with God? How do you know you're going to heaven when life is over? If you believe in anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ, please hear me, you are not saved and you are not going to heaven. He is the only way. The key is to understand that word believe. Whoever believes in him. The Bible does not say whoever believes about him. It says whoever believes in him. Many people believe about Jesus, but they do not believe in Jesus. To believe about Jesus means I believe the truth this historical person named Jesus really lived. I intellectually believe there was a Jesus. In my head, I believe he did miracles. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he arose from the dead. I have this historical, intellectual belief that Jesus is real, and I even have emotions about that. I can sing about it. I can talk about it and give me emotions. Having an intellectual, emotional, historical response to Jesus is believing about him. It's not believing in him. Let me tell you how I know that. James 2:19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Look, even the demons believe and tremble. The Bible is teaching us that demons have an intellectual, historical, emotional belief in God. Folks, there'll be no demons in heaven. We've got to believe in Jesus. We've got to trust him. What does that mean? A few years ago, I was with some folks in our church. We were on mission in the West African country of Liberia, and we were on a four-hour drive into the jungle. We were going to spend several days in the jungle. Worst roads ever been on in my life. And in the road, there was like this gorge, this just washed a horrible place. I mean, there's no way we could continue on our journey. There's no way we could get across this unless there was a bridge. Well, there was a bridge there, but I used the word bridge very loosely, okay? We stopped the Jeep and we got out and we were going to study the bridge. We looked on top of the bridge. We looked under the bridge. We looked at the bridge from all angles. You could tell in the mud and the tracks that other people had crossed the bridge. So even though it wasn't much to look at, we became convinced as we studied the facts of the bridge, we believed that the bridge would hold us up. But we still weren't on the other side yet. See, the next thing we did was vital. We not only believed the facts of the bridge, we put the Jeep in gear and we drove across the bridge. We committed our life, literally, we committed our life to the bridge. We were trusting, we acted on the facts. We did more than just believe the facts. We trusted in the bridge. We were depending. We were committing. We were willing to put the full weight of the Jeep and us in the Jeep on that bridge to cross something we could not cross. We depended upon it. In a much deeper way, that doesn't do it justice, but in a far deeper way, that's what it means to trust Jesus as Savior. That's what it means to believe in Him. Yes, we have to believe the facts of the Bible. We have to believe that the Bible says that we are sinners separated from God and we cannot save ourselves. We have to believe that God loves and God gave, that in His grace, Jesus came and took our sins and died upon the cross and He arose from the grave and He is the way, the truth, and the life and He is the only way. We have to believe those facts. That's why there are people who have Jesus in their head, but they've never had Him in their heart. They're 18 inches from heaven. We've got to, if you will, cross the bridge. We've got to come to a point where not only we believe the facts, but we commit our lives to Him. We trust solely and only in Jesus alone. We put our full weight down on the fact of who He is and what He did. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, we let go of our own efforts, will be saved. Don't delay any longer. Put your faith and trust in Christ. For by His grace and by His glory, God loves, God gives, we believe in Him. One more final lesson for living life through Him. Believe in Him was lesson number one. Lesson number two is life through Him. The very end of John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The indescribable weight and distance and eternal difference between that word perish and that word life. Our culture doesn't like the word perish. Our culture doesn't want to hear things about. They want to hear God loves, but not that God is also a God who's holy and God judges. Stephen Cole is a pastor in California, and he told the story some years back that he was conducting a funeral of a man in his church in California. And when he got to the funeral home, you know, most funeral homes have the little bitty paper brochure. Well, they were passing out this little brochure, and on the front of the brochure, it had John 3:16. And Stephen Cole thought, man, that's great. John 3:16, everybody can read it. And Stephen Cole read it, and it says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall have everlasting life. He read it again. Whoever believes in Him shall have everlasting life. He said they left out three words. They left out should not perish. And he said he didn't know if the family left it out. He didn't know if the funeral home left it out. But he said, I couldn't let it go. So when he preached that message that day, he said, it is true that God loves and it is true that God is for you and that God paid the price and God will forgive your sins. But he says this on the front of this is not accurate because the real verse says should not perish. Just because we don't want to think about the word perish or we want to try to erase the word perish, it doesn't get rid of it. But look at the good news. It says should not. What an incredible promise to all who believe in him. That word perish is a serious, sorrowful word. That word perish means ruin. It means loss. It does not mean the loss of existence. It means the loss of well-being. It is true that God loves, but it is also true that those who do not believe in Christ, who reject him, like Nicodemus, a religious, honorable guy, if he had never come to Christ, if he would never do that, he would perish. It says in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, that we would be forever separated from God. In John 3:36, we read just a moment ago that we're under the wrath of God. In Revelation 20, a forever, eternal, horrible place the Bible calls hell. But praise the Lord, John 3:16 says, should not perish. And that takes my mind to another verse that uses the word perish. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, God is not willing for anyone to perish, but to come to repentance. To admit our sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Look what happens when we believe in him, but we have everlasting life. That's the promise for all who come to Jesus, not perish, but life. Jesus said in John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That word everlasting speaks of quality and quantity of life. Everlasting life means for those who believe in Jesus as Savior, when this life is over, it's a real place called heaven. 6 weeks ago and 5 weeks ago, we spent two messages talking about heaven. Heaven, that beautiful beyond description place of the streets of gold and the walls of diamond and the gate of pearl and the glory of God, his light shining through it. That heaven is this incredible place of pleasure and adventure and discovery and activity where we will worship God. We will fellowship with one another. And we don't understand all about it, but we will actually serve God. Heaven, that place of satisfaction where sin and Satan is gone forever and there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more death. Where there will be a great reunion with all of our loved ones who died in Christ and we will see Jesus face to face forever. But everlasting life does not start the moment we enter heaven, believer. Everlasting life starts the moment we say yes to Jesus. Because in John 10:10, in this world, in this life that is so hard and so difficult and so confusing, Jesus promised us if we believe in him, we can have abundant life. Abundant life does not mean health. Abundant life does not mean wealth. Abundant life does not mean our life is free of trouble and struggles and difficulties. Abundant life means that we will fulfill the purpose of God in this world, that our life means something. An abundant life means that there is a settled joy and peace deep inside our souls that nothing in this world can touch or take away. Geico.com shared some stories of GPS gone wrong, and Alan Willett of New York told a story. Him and his daughter were visiting a college in Bangor, Maine. And they were put in their GPS to get the rental car back to the rental car company. And he said it was taking them on kind of a weird course. And anyway, they're out in the middle of nowhere. And he said, we pulled right up to this massive gray gate of a graveyard. And it said, you have reached your destination. Most people believe that the cemetery is the destination for us all. Hear me, it is not. Because you have a soul and I have a soul. The cemetery is not our final destination. Heaven or hell is our final destination, depending on what we do with Jesus in John 3:16. But there is hope and there is heaven. You know why? Because of what today means. The cemetery was not the final destination of Jesus, was it? He arose from the dead. So today, if you're willing to admit your sins, if you're willing to believe in him, I didn't ask if, like Nicodemus, if you're religious. I didn't ask you believe that God's real. I didn't ask you what your grandma believed. I didn't ask you what denomination you were part of. I didn't ask you if you're trying to be a good person. I didn't ask you about being a good citizen or a good parent or good morals or all those things. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ in you? Have you received the free gift of eternal life? Have you believed in him? And you know that Christ lives in you right now today, if you're willing, right now today, to just admit your sins and turn to Jesus in faith and trust him, you'll have everlasting life. If you're a follower of Jesus, John 3:16 and in Easter, whatever you're facing in your life, whatever you're facing this very day, whatever it may be, you can walk out today in the power and the purpose of God, knowing that God has a mission for your life and my life to spread the truth of God's love, to spread the glory of God and the good news of Jesus. And whatever you're facing because of Easter and what John 3:16 means, your hope in heaven is secure. Nothing can touch that. Have you ever put your name in John 3:16? In your heart, why don't you read that? And just put your name in, for God so loved Kenny. Just read that and put your name in. Do you believe that? I pray you've acted on it. Let me sum up John 3:16, Easter in the Bible, like this. God loves, God gives, we believe, we live. Because he lives, we live.